W4 VWA, TN4 VWA, W4 NWB.
NWB, TN4 VWA, how's this little HT sound?
Got just a little bit of noise, but you're perfectly copyable.
Well, good. This thing's hitting out all right. I'm on a foul thing.
Just left the salt mine.
Are you going to have a nice ride home? I tell you what, it got hot out there today. I didn't think it was supposed to get up in the 90s.
Yeah, I think we were only supposed to hit like mid-80s or something, but my air conditioning in my little shop over in Greenville started going out last week, so I called the fella that worked on it, and he came over and put me a new unit in today. So I tell you what, by the time it got everything chilled down, I was about to freeze. I had turned up a little bit.
I hear you. And that's over where you work?
Yes, sir. Just a little, it's really a trailer, but I've got a shop area. It's like a two-man shop. It's big enough for two men. You could actually set three people at the bench, and then I got my own restroom and an office, so it's not a bad deal.
Well, there you go. And you go out on the road when you need to.
Yeah, which is where I spend probably better than half my time.
Spent my entire career on the road. There for a while, I averaged about 60,000 miles a year. But let me tell you what. Well, as a business owner, wearing out a vehicle every 3 years gets kind of expensive.
I understand there was a couple of jobs I've had that were travel back when I was built. Different kinds of networks, and one of them traveled all over the United States, and man, that was something else. I never kept up with how many miles I did, but I do know that in 6 months, my first 6 months, when I first started traveling, I spent over $25,000 just on travel and stuff, so it was a lot, and I might be gone a couple of weeks at a time, even.
You drove to these places, or you flew out to all those places?
No, I flew. The only place I would drive, we based in Greenville, but I'd drive to Atlanta. That was where our nearest big hub was. Used to drive, I'd work all day and then drive down, eat supper, and get a hotel room, and get back up about midnight and do software updates. Used to do that down there, but everywhere else I flew. That was back in the very last days of paging, and we were building a combination of a frame relay network and a voice network. You actually sent out what was called a blob, a binary large object, to the transmitter, and we used a Motorola protocol called Inflection, and it actually ended up being a voice page on the other end.
How about that? Well, what I did for the longest time, was x-ray equipment of every kind of description. And it used to be film and chemicals. Man, I tell you what. It's like a 35mm camera film now. You go to a grocery store, you don't see no film.
Seen a good bit of evolution in that, from going from the chemical process with film to everything going digital now.
Except from trying to be a chemical engineer and all that with chemicals and the silver halide crystals and all that to being a computer geek.
Yeah, that's kind of the way my career has evolved. I'm in like my third stage, I guess you'd say, but I remember the early days, everything was discrete circuitry, and then everything got to be programmable, and that was with, even diode arrays and stuff like that. And then you got the dedicated programmers you had to buy from the individual manufacturers to program a radio, and then you got down to where it was just an interface to the radio, and you plug it into a USB port now. We're still doing that, but... Yeah, it's interesting, and even as, my first, second, third phase of my career, my first phase was to a radio paging trunk and sailor, that kind of evolution, literally in that order, and then taught for 17 years, and now I'm back in two-way. So it's been quite a trip. I'm enjoying it, though.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, when I first started off in X-ray, there was actually still some vacuum tube machines out there. Then it went to RC timing circuits and analog, and finally, I'd say in mid-80s, the digital started coming in, and man, I tell you what, you're talking about people suffering through a transition on electronic stuff, going from analog to digital, man, these machines really went through it, but now, you know, it's a pretty reasonable technology, but you know what, it's all electronics.
Yeah, and that hadn't changed in about 100 years. You got a few new devices now, but the basics of it's still the same. Ohm's Law is still the same.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. Oh, man, I tell you something else, too. As many new devices they come out with, the way they manufacture these things is just unreal. A lot of the machines that I deal with now, heck, they forced me to become a in-and-out board swapper because most of the boards now, you can't do component level on them because they're multi-layered boards.
For a couple of things, back in my college days, we had a Perkin-Elmer 732 mainframe, and that thing was, gosh, that was in 83, I guess. That thing had multi-layer boards, and it was all just integrated circuits. You didn't have a processor. You had a processor board back then. I remember troubleshooting those, and another thing I was thinking about, you were talking about how they're made, and I remember going to Booth Electro Systems. It used to be over on White Horse Road and taking a tour as a college field trip and how they made the circuit boards, and they were just, I think they were just double-sided, but they made the circuit boards over there and drilled them, and man, the last time I went to a manufacturing facility was, if you fast forward to about the year 2000 or so, I guess, 1999, 2000, somewhere in there, went to Melbourne, Florida, and went through a plant down there of the pick-and-play stuff, just like you're talking about with multi-layer boards and SMDs, and man, you have to become a board swapper at that point.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you got no choice just to swap boards. I mean, unless you find it. Well, and even at that, I knew a man that had military experience, and he tried to do multi-layers, but I tell you what, the things got so cheap in manufacture that, you just couldn't do nothing with them.
Even on what we work on now, the stuff's, you know, surface mounted, and you got to have a gas bonding station or something. And I think we're looking into getting just one. It's going to be in Columbia, and there's not a whole lot else you can do. You can do a little bit of surface mount, but not a lot. It takes a lot of technique. It's truly an art. I always used to tell my students when I taught soldering a long time ago, it's not just a, you know, something you learn. It's an art. It takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, and I tell you what, over the years, I've seen a lot of boards butchered.
Yeah, sometimes it's sad. That's why I'm enjoying working on all these guitar amps I do on the side. Most of them are tube. You know how guitar players are. They like tube amps, so tons of Fender stuff, and I've had some Randalls, and I got an Ampeg in there right now, and some other things. So there's a lot of fun going back to the old technology, though.
Yeah. Hey, you remember the old computer boards where you saw the, it was a 12 by 14 board just spattered with memory chips?
NW4 and WB. Yeah, I do, and I remember even... I had a VIC-20 when I was in college. That was circa 1982. And I built a a memory expansion card for it. I remember that. Put the sockets on and bought the chips one at a time because I couldn't afford to fully populate the thing. But then I remember later having when Wolfenstein, the game, came out, the 3D shooter game came out, you had to have expanded and extended memory. And I remember getting I remember if it was a 2 meg or a 3 meg card. Man, that was something else.
Listen, the first computer I ever bought ran on a cassette tape, and it was a little old Radio Shack thing. And I tell you what, you had to control the volume as it fed the processor. It was something else, and I tell you. And then I took my business over. We had a Commodore 64 for a while, and then we had a Radio Shack Trash 80. Remember the TRS-80?
Oh yeah, we had those at work. I had I had the VIC-20, and then the Commodore 64 was the next, and then they had the Amiga, if you remember it. But yeah, I remember Trash 80.
You know, it's just amazing to me that Radio Shack gave up the opportunity to have ruled the consumer computer world.
The best computer ever was actually a Timex Sinclair that had a Zilog 80 processor in it. And I think I had that. I don't know. That may have been my first year in college. May have even been my senior year in high school, somewhere in there.
Well, that's some real stuff, I tell you what. Well, the main thing I wanted to do was check on this little foul thing and make sure it was putting out okay. Am I reasonably clear?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you got just a little bit of white noise, but I'm not missing any of your syllables at all. You're perfectly copyable.
Well, good. Well, I tell you what, let's see if there's any other contacts in there. We've kind of been hogging up the repeater. Any contacts out there want to jump in with us and reminisce?
RAR, William and Union.
William and Union, how you doing today? That's Steve on this end, and we got Robbie on the other end. We're reminiscing about these old computers.
Have you again into your repeater full white, so you got a good signal coming out of your repeater.
Well, good. I tell you what, you're coming real good back from Union. Robbie, what do you think of his signal?
You're getting in fine. You got a good signal coming from Union. Steve, I was going to tell you, I copied you on direct on the input as I crossed over 292. I'm about to turn on my road here. But, yeah, you're making it fine. Go ahead.
You got me direct from this little bow thing?
Yeah, I did there for just a minute. I'll check again next transmission you make.
Wow, okay. Well, this thing is a 1, 4, and 8 watt.
How many watts? I missed that.
The tri-level. 1, 4, and 8 watts.
Oh, wow. How much are you using right now?
Oh, I'm up on the 8 watt, all right.
Oh, okay. Well, as I came down the hill here, I lost you. I'm down off of you cut just a little bit, and I'm pulling in the yards. I'm going to go ahead and sign with you, Steve. But that thing's working fine. It's getting in the repeater good. And station over Union, I forgot your prefix, WD4RER, I believe it was. You're making a good trip in there, too. So y'all have a good evening. I got to run in here and eat a quick bite of supper and head for praise team practice. So I'll say 73s and let you take it there, Steve. 10-4-VWA, W4 and WB.
Well, Robbie, you go have a good evening, buddy, and I appreciate you giving me the... It's actually doing better than I thought it was. So, anyhow, 73, and is it N4 or W4?
RAR, William. I run in a little HT with a rubber ducky on 5 watts.
Oh, okay. I'm impressed all the way from Union. You must not have any, you must be in a spot where there's no shadows. I'm running 8 watts on a handheld Baofeng over here in Inman.
I got to brag. I do have a good location.
Hey, what's that old thing about business? You do well in business as long as you got a good location, and treat people decent.
Okay. Good talking to you. Appreciate the little QSO. I'm going to get in here like the other guy and get some supper. And I ain't going nowhere. WD4RAR 73.
They are. You have a good evening, big guy. And jump in there with us anytime you hear us, man. KN Ford, DWA, I'm clear.
Cornette 4AC and that big black Dodge, KN4 UBG.
Hey man, that air conditioning in that Dodge 2500 diesel of mine will bring frostbite and icicles on your nose. That thing works so good.
My air conditioning in my little truck quit. Was working and got low on fluid, so I put Freon in it and
died. Oh my goodness. Well, did you check the pressures on it?
Everything, it charged up perfect. But then turned around and it got to where it didn't want to work again. I think it drained out my Freon.
Well, sounds like you've either lost a seal or you lost you got a hole in a hose, or I tell you what you might have, you know, the little switch up there on your evaporator? You know, well, sometimes if you bypass the switch on your evaporator, that'll tell you whether the system is pumping it around or not. Now, wait a minute. Did you say you had an 86 Ford F-150 four-wheel drive?
86 F-150 four-wheel drive. I've had that thing for years.
Mine's an 85.
I like that old truck. It does more sitting than I do driving it anymore. It's got that 351 Windsor in it, bored out 40 over with a Holley 4-barrel on. And the only sad thing, you can't pass up a gas station with it. That's the only sad thing.
Now that 351's not the original engine, is it?
Well, the sticker is on the,
if it's on the grill part of the tap or if it's on the hood. Yeah, I think it's
the original engine, I think.
Yeah, mine's the original 302. Well, I tell you what, I'd like to see that. What color is it? A short bed?
It's a short bed. It's blue. It's like a dark blue.
Yep. I tell you what, you and I'll get together sometime. I'll come down there. We'll take a peek at it, see what it's like.
Yeah, come on over. Whenever I get ready to start sticking that tower in the ground, you'll be over here supervising me, and you can check it out. Or if you want to ride down one day and check it out before then, let me know. All you got to do is pull my call sign, and my address and everything's in the database.
Roger. All right. Well, I'm waiting on Mama to get home, so I'm going to get off of here, and I'm going to finish watching the inside of my eyelids for about 10 minutes before she gets home. So, Kevin, you behave yourself. Be safe going home, buddy, and we'll get together. And by the way, the kids still want to do that garage door. They're just recuperating from a big beach trip that they did right during that time. So, they're probably going to do that garage door probably in the next few months.
That's fine. Just let me know whenever they decide to do it, and we'll go from there. You know, ain't no big deal. That might even be better, you know, get it up around, you know, the cold time, and, you know, won't be too hot putting them in there. So, yeah, just let me know, and we'll go from there, but, have you had the Harley out riding it any, or is it, you still got it parked?
No, I haven't had my Harley out. It's been too blasted hot.
It would have been a good day to be riding, man. Saturday and Sunday. I rode a little bit Sunday, went to church on the bike, and boy, it felt good. Wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. I mean, it literally felt good.
Tell you what, if I could ever get past this wedding, I'll get to do some of the things I used to do on a regular basis.
You get ready to ride, man, let me know. We'll get David together and we'll all take off, go somewhere. Ride around somewhere, go through the mountains, do something. Ride up in North Carolina and look around, do something.
Now, that sounds like a winner for sure. All right, well, listen, I'll catch you later, bud. KN4UBG, KN4VWA, I'll be clear after your final.
Man, well, you have a good one, and you be careful out there on the wheels, and don't hit no parked cars behind the eyelids there. I know I went to sleep one day and had a dream that I fell asleep at a red light or something, and I woke up, man, and I was sitting there mashing the brake pedal in the truck, but the truck was in park. But you have a good one, 73, and we'll holler at you a little bit later. KN4VWA, KN4UBG, I'll be clear.